Avemus Papa! Eminentissim, ac reverendissim Dominum Georgium Marium, Sancte Romani Ecclesiae Cardinalem Bergoglio, qui sibi nomen Domini Franciscum.
Hello, my name's Ruth, and I'm one of the TOTUS Tours team, and I'm from the UK. When Pope Benedict's announcement was made public on the Feast of Our Lady of Lourdes, once I had adjusted to the news, my one thought was, I want to be able to get back to Rome, to be there for his last audience if possible, and to be there to say farewell and send him all my love and say a big thank you. Through the wonderful goodness of Providence, it was possible for me to come out here to Rome in time for his last audience on the Wednesday in St. Peter's Square on the most beautiful day. Then the next day was very sober, seeing him get ready to leave, and this sense of loss and lacking and being without, and him being there in that way as our Father, no more, having gone to be in a more hidden place, suffering with Christ on the cross for the good of the world. So once I got here, I thought, well, I don't know what I'm doing next, and how often do you get the chance to be in Rome for the election of another pope? I'm staying put if possible, which proved so. So there was this sort of lack for a couple of days, and then the media started rolling up, and it is a bit of a joke. So many media, it's mind-boggling. And once I got over the slight mourning process for Pope Benedict having left, by the time it got to the conclave, I was really aware that I needed a Holy Father there, and I was ready for this decision that they were going to reach. But truth be told, I was also a little bit anxious. I was trying so hard not to be, because Pope Benedict had left us with such great faith, the fact that the church is built on Jesus and he's with us, and the Holy Spirit is working in marvellous, wondrous ways far beyond our understanding, which is part of our problem, is that we can't, with our little piddly minds and our sinfulness, understand the great goodness of God's love. So I'm trying not to go on for too long, but I'm such a waffler. The thing that I was anxious about was, I was conscious that my love for John Paul II had been a great gift when he'd come to England when I was still a child, and from that time on I loved him without any difficulty, really, really loved him. And then, thanks to Pope Benedict, when he was Cardinal Ratzinger, having given the funeral homily, when he came out into St. Peter's, I knew who he was, and I had read his stuff, and I was able to love him just like that too. But this lot of cardinals, there was only one of them, Cardinal Schönborn, whose writings I had read quite a bit of and had any sort of personal contact with, which had been very impressive. But I was doubtful that there'd be another German speaker. And anyway, I just thought, I'm going to be faithful to whoever it is and be grateful that we have a leader, but will I be able to love him? So I had been at Mass at Centro San Lorenzo for the young people, which is very close to St. Peter's Square, and went with a wonderful Australian couple from there to the piazza, not thinking we'd see anything other than black smoke if we hadn't already missed it. And there, within 2 minutes of us rocking up in St. Peter's Square, there was the smoke coming out, and I'd even thought, how can we tell in the dark if it's white smoke or black smoke? Because it's dark and the lights are around and it's bedazzling, but, you know, we won't have the foggiest. But I'll tell you what, if you're ever around next time, it comes billowing out. They've got some very good chimneys going. It really was the good stuff. So you couldn't have not but spotted it. And then the bells started pealing and it was thrilling. And I'd been there earlier in the day and seen just so many people coming through in the pouring rain. Anyway, we got quite close up. Close enough up to be able to see, and I thought, well, I'm not going to know who he is most probably. And when it was announced, I was dipsticky about it. In fact, no one round us had much of an idea who he was. I'd read some biographies but was getting it all in a bit of a muddle. So the man that we met, for most of us in the crowd, it was the man that was presented to us, and the way in which he came out and met his flock, his Diocese of Rome, and all those from the Universal Church who are based in Rome, moved hearts just like that. He came out and spent quite a little bit of time just in total silence before saying anything at all, like he was allowing himself to really live in the moment and be open to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Pope John Paul II had started by saying he was a pope from Lontana, and Pope Francis started with that the cardinals had had to go to the end of the world to find him. Then there was a prayer for Pope Benedict. We had an Our Father, a Hail Mary, and a Glory Be. And then I think the whole crowd were just so taken aback that he then asked us to pray for him before he gave his first apostolic blessing and bowed down low for us to pray to God, for God to bless him. The humility of the gesture was immediately evident and very, very wondrous to behold. And then he gave her the blessing, and then he mentioned he was going to go and see Our Lady the first thing, the next day, which got more thumbs up from me. And actually, having chosen the name Francesco, which is the first time in church history, that had got lots of thumbs up before he'd come out on the balcony. It was very exciting that we were being given a pope who was taking on the namesake of such a remarkable saint who built the church up from its heart and really living God's call in great poverty. I think actually he was the first male saint to receive the stigmata. So that was yesterday, and it was a great gift to know straight away that the man the cardinals had voted was such a holy man, and that we could really love him without having to sort of have a little bit reserved just in case. And then today I was near St. Peter's when the Mass and Sistine Chapel with all the cardinals happened, so I was able to go and be there for his homily. Yesterday, when he came out on the balcony, something of his kindliness and his straightforward approach of being with the people came across. But what hit me between the eyeballs today was his courage in speaking with the cardinals. He's right on the pulse of the heart of the church, and so alive with it, and he didn't hold back from giving it straight to the cardinals. He reflected on the readings and said about how the first reading, the psalm and the gospel, were all about movement, which they were, and camminare, which means to walk, edificare, which means to build, and then confessare, to confess. And he said that our lives are journeys, and we're on a pathway with Jesus, and we are to build the church. Well, he said that they're to build the church, and the cornerstone is Jesus. And he said, well, you can do as much walking and as much building as you like, but if it's not in prayer and based on Jesus, and if we do not confess Jesus as Lord, then it means nothing. And that the Jesus we confess is the crucified Lord, and it is through his sacred blood that we are redeemed. So that was deeply, deeply moving, well, and profound and real. And to know that we have a shepherd that's not going to dodge the cross and is embracing it from the word go and calling us all to have the courage to do it too. I was in Rome for about 2 months before Christmas, and one of the things that really came home to me was how much we as the church have a need to be simple and friendly in the way we are in presenting and offering Jesus Christ, our Saviour, and how if any of it's surrounded by pomp or arrogance or anything else, especially young people can sniff and admire off. And it's, I think, one of the reasons why John Paul II and Pope Benedict have won so many young people's hearts, is they never shied away from the cross or from the truths of our faith and proclaimed them with such beauty. Well, the truth is beautiful, that's it, but they both proclaim the truth, and we have been given yet another beautiful shepherd who is not afraid to proclaim the truth. And the one, I'm going to try and stop talking here now, the one thing I'd really beseeched God in our new Pope was that he would have a deep devotion, love for Our Lady, as I'm so conscious that when there's a deep devotion to Our Lady, so much else goes with it besides a great humility and an understanding that everything is for Jesus and about Jesus and for Jesus, and that nothing is ours and everything is through the grace of God and his great goodness. and thinking about the cross and Papa Francisco's call to have the courage to walk the way of the cross with Jesus. We need our mother close by us to have the courage to do so. I remember a priest saying, would John the disciple, who was the only disciple at the foot of the cross, have had the courage to be there if it hadn't been for the fact that Mary was there beside him, with him? And I think it really brings home how we need Mary in the heart of it all for this to be possible. And Papa Francisco's visit to Santa Maria Maggiore, which is the basilica consecrated to Our Lady, to go there first thing this morning and spend a whole half hour very simply in prayer with her, brought home to me the beauty of the church and the beauty of our faith. And that's something too that has really come across in this blessed time that we have lived here in Rome, the beauty of the church. I think we're given, one of the many reasons we're given Our Lady is that through loving her we come to realise the beauty of the church. And seeing all those cardinals and reading some of the biographies, it sort of came home to me, most of them I know nothing about any of them at all, what heroic men some of them really are and what great, wondrous things God has done through their lives. And it's so different to what is so often presented to us in the media. And I am very, very full of joy at this great gift that God has given the church through the sacrifice that Pope Benedict has made. And thank you. Thank you, Holy Father, and thank you, Pope Francis, for having taken up this role at the heart of the church, which means taking up the cross in a very, very intimate way with Jesus. So thank you. Thank you, Papa Francisco. Viva il Papa.
Fratelli e sorelle, vi lascio grazie tante dell'accoglienza. Pregate per me e a presto, ci vediamo presto. Domani voglio andare a pregare la Madonna perché custodisca tutta Roma. Buonanotte e buon riposo.